You are now tuned in to Mastering Mitzvahs.
Mastering Mitzvahs.
A podcast focused on creating the perfect bar and bat mitzvah celebration, offering tips, tricks, and trends to ensure an amazing event. Mastering Mitzvahs. From New Jersey's own Explosive Entertainment.
Explosive Entertainment.
I know you're going to dig this.
And here they are, your hosts, Dylan Weissman and Mike Langzer.
I used the wrong one again.
Yeah, you did. You knew I was going to pick on you for that one. So welcome back. We're doing another morning recording. This one's going to be a fun one. This is episode 123 of Mastering Mitzvahs. We have a guest sitting in our waiting room who we'll introduce in a moment.
And the very fancy digital green room.
Yes, very, very fancy. So, you know, Dylan, you and I always go back and forth, like who parties better, Jersey or Pennsylvania? And I think you're leaning towards the Jersey side, even though you live on that side of the river.
I am absolutely a transplant at this point.
How about that? But today we're introducing a new city, Boston, and we're going to see how Boston does with their accent of theirs. So welcome, Michael Siegel of Siegel Productions.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Dylan. Thanks, Mike. It's great to be here.
What is your favorite word that has the Boston accent, by the way?
Car.
What is that?
Car.
That's car. It's car, Mike.
Love that.
So Michael Siegel is a dear, dear friend of ours. And now your official title at Siegel Productions is Yoda of Mitzvahs? I can't be right.
No, it's president, but I self-proclaimed Yoda of Mitzvah to my employees. I think they get a kick out of it, so.
And so Siegel Productions is, in my opinion, one of just the absolute industry leaders of doing bar and bat mitzvahs at a really, really high level.
How many
bar and bat mitzvahs do you think Siegel Productions puts out in a single year?
We probably produce about 250, between 250 and 300 bar bat mitzvahs a year.
Awesome. That's, so collectively on this cast, we're probably around 100 to 150. So yeah. Collectively, we're going to say we do just shy of 500 bar bat mitzvahs
indeed
alone in a year. There's a lot of knowledge. How many years also, Michael, have you been in the game?
My father founded this company. It started in about 1976, doing a mitzvah in his basement for his sister. And her friends called after that and started booking until he couldn't do them all himself. He hired some people. And here we are today. I've been in the business DJing since I was 11, which is about 25 years ago at this point, and have done thousands of bar and bat mitzvahs myself and produced, you know, probably tens of thousands of mitzvahs across my desk here.
It's awesome.
And it's really, really good stuff to see that awesome transition between, you know, father to son. Like, we've known you for a long time, and there's so much good that Siegel Production is doing. I mean, you guys got an army of people that is doing awesome things. Adam Parrott checks in, who is your boy, saying hi. And we love to see great companies who are so similarly aligned to us and how the people are just, they're so good. Like, good people just do good things. And I think that you guys are just good people.
Thank you.
I think the goal of today's podcast, you know, we're both on the East Coast. And, you know, we often say there's like a New York style of event. And you don't see it in too many other cities, but I do think that there's a lot of similarities from Boston to Jersey to Pennsylvania to New York that we all incorporate into our days. And I think it'd be fun to just kind of unveil this and like pull the covers over and like, what is a bar bat mitzvah look like to each of us? And this is a free-flowing live conversation that we may be able to learn some things from each other and, you know, share some tips of what you're doing that's really cool and hot in your market, and maybe we're not there yet, or vice versa.
Sure. So,
I'm going to just ask one very quick question. And, you know, what is like the biggest trend? We'll get the conversation started with this. What's the biggest trend or new hot item that you've been seeing in the last, let's call it post-COVID time?
I've seen a major, and this is kind of a decade in the making, but I've seen a major resurgence of videography. I actually think videography died in the 2000s, and you know, all of our parents who are throwing these mitzvahs, kind of had their wedding videography done and never watched it again. And the way it was shot was just long and 3 hours. And so, you know, videography desperately needed to be reinvented. And it really has with these deliverables that are like shorter, highlight 5 minute sizzle reels. They take a ton of editing. They take a ton of work to do, and they have to be shot a certain way. So the price, even though it's a 5 minute video, is the same as the 3 hour video, but they're watchable, they're enjoyable, and my clients are loving those. So I'm pretty sure New Yorkers would feel the same. Tell me.
I agree. Dylan, I'm going to take this one because I'm so passionate over video.
Fun.
Michael, I would love for you to explain, pretend that, you know, Dylan or I or your potential customers, like if I said to you, you really could capture my whole party in 5 minutes, like how? Explain.
Yeah. I mean, well, I would start by asking you, did you have you ever watched an old wedding video? And I would say like, and most people say, no, I haven't watched my wedding video in two decades. And I say, well, why? Because it takes a half a bottle. It takes a bottle of wine and a full night off to get through that thing,
right?
So, you know what we do is we boil that down to the best moments so that you can watch the video when your son or daughter brings their significant other home from college. You can embarrass them with it. You can show them the best moments of one of the most important days of their life quickly and get that positive zing and then move on with the day, and the posterity is great. So that's how I position it to my client, and they're like, oh, you know, wow, I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I think that with the emergence and trends of shorter videos with TikTok and Instagram Reels and even YouTube Shorts now, we want to get to the point faster than we ever did before, and videography now is shot in a way where we need to get to the point. And the point is we're going to capture the elegance and the sophistication of the accomplishment of a bar or a bat mitzvah on the religious side, and then also capture all of the biggest, best moments of the celebration and all the different building blocks. At the end of the day, you're going to have lots of great footage, but you don't need 5 or 6 minutes just of people dancing. You want to be able to see grandma and grandpa doing their thing,
right,
and waving to the camera in real time, but you don't need much more than just that in that segment. So I think that the fact that we're shortening things up definitely helps. And it's a great trend to be aware of, is don't skimp out on the videography, because that is something you will miss.
Oh, totally. And the videos of the grandparents in there, I mean, you know, seeing grandma on the dance floor for the neck and having that, I mean, That's what it is.
It's irreplaceable.
I'll move on to the next topic, but I say that my wedding video is exactly what you described. It's like a 3 minute highlight reel, and there's a little clip of my grandmother dancing like on the side.
Right on.
I didn't see it happen at the party. I was, you know, I was in my own world at my own wedding. I didn't see it happen. And some people said, "Oh, your grandmother was so cute dancing there." And I never saw it until I saw my video. And that's a video that I'll have forever. So, I mean, that is such a good point. To move on, video prompts me to think about media and televisions. And in the picture behind you, there's two, you know, flat screen TVs. Mm-hmm. I think we've all been doing flat screen TVs for a long time. But video walls seem to be popping up in your feed very often. Is that
– yeah.
What percentage of events do you see now with a video wall?
Well, not as much as you do. It's kind of a newer – blossom in Boston. It's not something that we're seeing every week, even last year, whereas I know in your market that it was more prevalent. But I will say, I did want to take one step back to something that you said earlier on. You said, you know, I want you to know that New York is kind of a describing word for Boston clients as terms of like the type of event they want to have. So it's like almost it's almost like, hey, I'd like my event to be a little more New York or a little less. So if you unpack that a little, like, you know, what does that mean? It means, you know, almost all of my clients have a cousin or a relative in New Jersey. They've been to a party that was just really loud, really in the face with a lot of extra bells and whistles. And so some of my clients come to me and they say, hey, I'd like my event to be a little more New Jersey or a little bit less. And I know exactly what they mean. So maybe your clients can say, I'd like my event to be a little more Boston, which might be a little bit less volume and a little bit maybe tailored back a bit. I don't know, just offering that as a new approach for you.
I dig it.
That's so funny.
Video walls you're seeing more often, not so commonly. And I ask that because I'm going to go into my next thing with it is the use of media as a whole just seems to be more expected at our parties. And I'm, you know, there's so often, you know, we have a video shout out from somebody in Israel that can't make it to the party and we need to show that clip. Or, you know, there's a sibling that's studying abroad that wants to send well wishes. You know,
how about the athletes and the cameos and the actors that you know, are paid to do, you know, a little shout out. There's so much more in the media side than there ever was before. And it's not just media, but it's also just the use of the visual representation. Like now you can do awesome trivia contests using the screens. There's ways to show live simulcasts, which was never new technology, but it's also now gotten so much better because the cameras are better. Like, I mean, Mike, we were talking about how I can take my phone and bring it onto the dance floor and it live streams right to the TVs. And there's just so much fun to that.
So much fun.
Michael, are you seeing and doing a lot of that?
We absolutely are. The wall adds like a new canvas to the whole event, and it really allows you to tailor the event towards your guest of honor in a more dynamic way than ever before, obviously a bigger way. And the pandemic has trained us, us event companies like you and me, to be able to do more with them and to be able to, you know, Dylan, we hired you to help us with a very advanced streaming gig. But this really opened up all the capabilities and the options for, you know, making a more meaningful and immersive screen experience for our clients, bringing in family members from afar and just kind of opening things up like never before. So
the first two trends we talked about now are both media related. One of them was the reemergence of videography and how it's shot. The second one is just this, the use of screens and video walls and how they're expanding. Mike, let's go into there's more to talk about on that side. I want to see from the entertainers side, DJs, dancers, MCs, are there any trends that you're seeing that you didn't expect in a post-COVID world? I know we're going off script. I really, really want to see the difference.
That I didn't expect. Well, I think we're still trying to, you know, are you guys on TikTok?
Yeah.
Yeah, hardly, Mikey?
Personally, no. Business-wise, hardly. We gave it a valiant effort for a couple months, and then we let it sizzle away.
I mean, so what that's done to music is very interesting, and these TikTok songs, seeing them appear at the mitzvahs and watching how the kids are reacting to this music that they're used to only seeing like 10 seconds of, and you drop that live, like, is that going to work or not? Sometimes it does. Sometimes I feel like it's kind of like they're already ready to scroll once you just play that. So, you know, I think music is one thing that's been really affected by this, and is something I'm interested in following further. And I didn't really expect the next wave of kind of hot tunes to come from like a social media outlet like that. I'm trying to think, do you guys have any other ideas?
I think that old music has come back so well because of TikTok. Like the fact that ABBA right now is huge.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny.
Blows my mind, right? You know, like you mentioned your dad started in 76. Like,
right.
ABBA was his jam when he was playing these basement parties, but now you can play the same songs.
Totally.
I think that there's a bridge between older music and newer music because of that. But the actual answer that I had in my head to what have you seen from an entertainer's perspective is I think that TikTok has made it so that we should be quicker mixing. We're doing a lot quicker. We're not spending a whole lot of time on one song anymore. Our DJs are moving a lot faster through music, getting a lot more music in on an event. And I think it's in a byproduct of, the TikTok world that we're in, where it's shorter and sweeter.
Yep.
I also find that our entertainers have to be a lot more creative to continue to capture those moments. People aren't, at least in the trend that I'm seeing, is that they're not dancing without cause anymore. Where it used to be like you could throw on great music and then they would just party. Where now I think there's a lot more deliberate attempt. Hey, we're going to be dancing to this style because there's a dance from TikTok that needs to happen. It's just my observation. And I think that it's made us all really strong entertainers because we had to get so creative in the last, 18 months.
I'm going to just quick jump in here. Think about things that were cheesy for us for a long time. YMCA, Macarena, Barbie Girl, those were cheeseball songs that you would stay away from. And the word revival that Kevin Garrity just used is so true. Wild that those songs are now considered fun again or cool or even playable. I mean, I think I had a New Year's resolution back in like 98 or 99 to never play Macarena again. And, I think I have to play it now from time to time. But Dylan, you said it right. You don't have to play all 3.5 or 4 minutes of it.
Yeah. Yeah. My song was, I really, really don't like playing the YMCA, but it's being asked for again. And it's really strange. And there are some really great redrums and remixes of it that like kind of get the point across. But I never thought I'd be playing it as much as I am right now. And it's because it's being demanded by.
Here's my prediction. Because my other song that I detested was Mambo Number 5. If that comes back, and I'm declaring it here on this podcast, if that comes back, I could foresee the future.
I feel it. So, all right, what's next?
Let's talk about games. Are games a popular thing, Michael, in your market? And we speak about games in two ways. There's the games that a DJ can just creatively do, like Coke and Pepsi, Trivia, Scavenger Hunt. And then there's the rental of games, air hockey, foosball, ping pong. Mm-hmm. Like, let's talk about games for a moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I position those to a client, I reassure everybody that, look, if you do nothing else at your party, your MC team and your DJ and your dancers that you're investing in with Siegel Productions, they're going to be able to run games, and each MC has a nice repertoire of games that they can do to keep your kids engaged throughout the day. The games on the side are great. It's really like they can be a cherry on top as an exciting thing, alternative for the kids to do. But they can also be what I call kind of an insurance policy. If you have a lot of boys or kids who might have alternative interests to dancing, maybe people who are not interested in dancing, putting some games on the side can act as a little bit of an insurance policy for your event and give kids something else to do if they're not so into the dance focus. So that's how I position it. Is that different than what you guys
when
do?
Somebody says they're doing a New York style party. What does that mean to you regarding games?
It probably means they're going to be more open to having some games on the side, but I think that really informs kind of more of like an open format event, a free-flowing event, less sitting, meals, square tables, round tables, and more lounge, music the whole time, louder, bigger MC presence, bigger team, usually a little more glitz on the lighting, and maybe a couple of wow factors. So there's definitely a more comprehensive order coming usually when someone prefaces it by saying New York style bar mitzvah, or they say I don't want that, and that's very telling for me too.
Yeah.
So if I'm gathering it right, you're saying that games have not gone away. They are still a part of your trend, and there it's almost like a conversation that happens every time. And I would agree with that. I believe that, hey, we have a package. We literally have a package called Mitzvah Essentials, which if you did nothing else, you said it best, if you do nothing else, you will have a kick-ass amazing celebration
right on.
That captures the essence of what you're looking for. Every aspect after that are add-ons and gravies, and it's the icing on top. And I think that when you understand your kid and their friends well enough, you can insert those, I think you called it alternative motive.
Alternative interests.
Yeah, alternative. That allows them to be a more well-rounded, it allows the space to be more well-rounded. And I think that that plays a big factor in comfortability. And the name of the game is, can we take our 13-year-olds who are going through a very challenging pubescent state.
Right on.
Where awkward is ruling their anxieties. Can we make them feel comfortable? And sometimes that's in the form of games. So I love bringing that up as a part of topic.
I would also just say that, you know, by games, we're not really just talking about Papa Shot sports arcade stuff. A lot of our clients, their kids who are getting mitzvahed are not into sports or dancing. Right. They're more cerebral. Maybe they're into Minecraft or gaming or engineering and stuff. So having the DJ company that can offer those kids something, maybe some carnival challenges on the side or some brain game puzzle activities on the side, is also in the cards and something that we're open to providing for people who aren't really all about the dancing, sports.
That's right.
I'm going to jump into the next topic.
Sure.
For the sake of time, formalities, Michael. Are you doing what we call traditional formalities? And in our market, they might be different than you, but, you know, the category formalities would be, you know, grand entrance, kiddush mochi, hora, candle lighting, showing a montage. Are you doing all or some or most of all?
Okay. So the trend is definitely slightly away from that, and it's slightly away from a sit-down traditional mitzvah. But in my thousands of mitzvah experience, the format has for a successful and the formula for a successful mitzvah hasn't changed. And when people mess with it too much, even if they say, "Hey, my crowd's high energy, we just want to dance the whole time," blah 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 blah, they can work against themselves. So what I'm saying, what I say to my clients is, look, you can't take away everything, because the spacing and the pacing of the night is like incredibly important. And shorter dance sets are better. Better to have shorter multiple dance sets than a 2-hour dance marathon at the end where you have one drunk aunt left. Do you know what I mean? Like, and some of the clients who come in and say, "I want a New York style," they kind of start to tee that up for themselves. And I'm like, whoa, can we please do a couple of things? Like, what about at least the horror? I mean, that's great. Let's do that. It's a great moment. And they say, okay. And so we start to structure the night properly, even if they are having a free-flowing event. So that's a challenge, you know, where I see a trend going a certain way, but I kind of try to control it a little bit, because I know what yields the best results, and the formalities do make the memories for, you know, when you look back on the thing. So I try to keep them, even though a lot of people are bucking them.
So let's just check them off the list real fast. Grand entrance.
You see absolutely every part.
Almost I actually think they're getting bigger. They're getting bigger.
Totally.
Mike, you like Langster, you and I were just on the phone talking about how they want to bring in an electric guitarist to play alongside the kid while he's being introduced. How many times do we do the curtain drop? What's it called? Kabuki drop, where there's a screen in front of someone and then we drop it and then there's a big reveal. Like, grand entrances are getting bigger. That's
I love
the trend. It's going bigger in entrances. Okay, not so grand doing away with
it. Candle lighting. Thing of the past or current?
Still most events are doing it. Most are doing it. I'd say 20% have cut it, potentially.
I mean, we would agree, Mike. I think that if anything, they're still necessary to get great group photos, because there's very few opportunities to get posed and staged photos, and a candle lighting does that. So I think if anything, the trend is more leaning towards abbreviating. And I'm also
we do an abbreviated.
The trend is also not necessarily there was always a three candle, like past, present, future, or 13 candle. There was no in between for a while. Now I'm seeing a lot of 7, 8, or spelling out the name of the kid. You know, if his name was Alex, you did four candles. So the point is that I think that people are getting creative and they're open to the idea that it doesn't have to be 13 candles, because in most cases, it's just about getting those photos.
Right on.
How about parent dance and parent toast?
More welcome words. There's no toast, really. And parent dances very rarely.
That's interesting, because I think we still are probably like 70 to 80% still doing a parent dance.
No.
Yeah, and if we're not
doing it, it's on our questionnaire, but people don't check it. They don't usually check it.
Interesting. I mean, Mike's right. We do about 70 or 80%. And the ones who don't do it still pose for the camera as if they were dancing for the sake of mom or dad's, you know, own want of that photo. And I also think that the trend is, if they don't do it, I think they regret not doing it.
Yeah. And of that, the bat mitzvahs, I'd say there's a small percentage that still do like a choreographed thing where they sucker dad into like a mashup, you know, choreographed mega mix thing. Probably, I don't know, maybe one out of every 10 bat mitzvahs or so.
You know what I saw that I thought was really, really unique? It was a wedding video that I saw, but I think it would be really cool in mitzvahs. The father of the bride and the bride didn't do a first dance, and instead they did what they really like to do together, which was have a catch. She was a softball player. He was her coach.
That's cute.
So they did, instead of a first dance, they did a round of catch on the dance floor. And there was still as much power as there is behind a parent dance. And I think that we should embrace creativity like that, like, you know, doing something like that. Or I saw another one in that same trend where they it was a family of singers where they sang a song instead. So it doesn't have to be a dance. But I do think that when you don't do something that honors the parent-child relationship in some way, I think you're going to miss it. I think you're going to miss it and regret not doing it.
Got it. All right. Last question. Michael Siegel, this is like one of our topics we talk about over and over again. 4 versus 5 hour party.
So if you cut the formalities and you're a low formality person, you usually don't need that fifth hour. It doesn't necessarily do you service. I talk to the client. Every situation is different. If a client says, hey, we can carry it, we're going to go, we want to dance, la la, make it as loud as long as they can possibly go, then I obviously sign off and I approve. I think it's a great thing to make the most of their investment for the night and extend an hour. But a lot of events, it's just not appropriate for that extra hour. It doesn't leave people with a zing, leave them wanting more. It leaves them wanting just kind of a little bit less, quite frankly.
I think we feel exactly the same way. With only a few minutes left of this podcast recording, sure. Have we all seen the new Adam Sandler movie called You're So Not Invited to My Bat Mitzvah?
Yeah, of course we've seen it. Of course.
I have been screaming that at like my wife for the last few days. Anytime she like gives me a hard time about something, I like yell at her. I'm like, well, you know what? You're not invited to my bar mitzvah or whatever. I think it was a great, great movie. And Adam Sandler's family is super talented. And I think it was like kind of a nod to his family, and I'm glad he did it.
DJ Shmuley, though, DJ Shmuley wasn't very representative of what the three of us do. You know, I'm cool with the fact that he's like a caricature of it, but like I would have liked to see like an MC and a DJ, because that's what all the bar mitzvahs are. We haven't done a single DJ bar mitzvah in 20 years. You know what I mean?
And then what DJ Shmuley did wasn't even indicative of what how we would approach a single event.
But it was for entertainment. It was hilarious. Sure. And it was fine.
I was going to bring this up earlier when we were talking about media, and I don't want to give a spoiler alert on the movie, but like...
Actually, no, just say spoiler alert.
Okay.
Anyone who hasn't seen it yet, who wants to see it, don't listen starting now. We're going to talk about something that happened in the film.
I mean, first off, there was such a use of media at this bat mitzvah, you know, and DJ Shmuley showed an entrance video. And that is a thing that pops up in our market from time to time. We don't see it very often, but we do see it.
Yes.
I can't say I've ever seen a sister or a friend of the guest of honor create it. That was an interesting play on it. But, oh, man, I mean, we all know you have to preview every piece of content.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Oh, boy.
Guys, I'm going to be very honest. When that was going down, I had to leave the room. I had a visceral reaction
to
was going on there. I had to leave the room. I couldn't believe the horror that was happening. And I think it just goes to show that DJ Shmooly is probably not going to survive in our market.
No, he wouldn't make it.
The level of professionalism of testing and creating great content.
Maybe he could be a mirror ball dancer. Those are hot right now.
Yes.
Talk about another trend. I loved it though. There was aspects that I thought were very relatable, like the pressures that kids feel about their own event. And I think that professionals, we could take something away from that. Like, this is a big deal to them. Even the little things are a big deal. Like, you know, who's invited guests, like that matters to these kids. And I don't think that we should take that for granted.
100%.
So let's wrap it up, Michael. We always ask, we usually ask our guests to share one great tip for the listeners who are planning their own party. So mom and dad who are listening to this podcast, if you could give them one tip, what would it be?
Listen to Michael and Dylan when they're making a recommendation about the timeline. Just do your best to let them do it, because usually it works out just a little bit better. You know, and you can push for, if you have something that's important to you, push them and you get what you want for your special day. But, you know, really lean on them for that timeline thing. And at the heart of a great mitzvah is a great timeline and a great team. And Explosive can provide both of those things. So take advantage of it.
Awesome. Well, let's wrap this one up. Bill,
all right, Mike, your check's in the mail, bud. Thank you.
It's so good having you here. Thank you for doing this. I think we've been talking about making this happen for a couple of years now, and we finally found the time.
Anytime.
I'll do it again.
Anytime.
So, Dylan, I'm going to poke a little fun here because I like doing that. First off, nobody's a fan of your background today. I had to throw it out there.
All right. Who else is working? I'm in the warehouse. What are you guys doing? It's the start of the season this week. We have our first mitzvah of the fall season coming up this Saturday. Get off.
He's hustling.
Work.
He's hustling.
I love getting you excited. And although it says on the screen episode 124, I believe this is episode 123. So we're going to close out at like 123 and a half and say thanks for tuning in. All things Bar and Bat Mitzvah related for Explosive. You can find us at xeevents.com. And Michael, why don't you give a shout out for your company?
Thank you. SiegelProductions.com, baby.
Awesome.
SIAGEL.
Yeah, I don't expect anybody to get that right. So just Google it. It'll get you to the right place eventually.
Best in Boston. Thanks for being here,
Take
brother.
Take care, guys.